About 70% of federal employees are against a performance-based system for calculating pay raises, according to the 2013 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. But that is one of the proposals from the Partnership for Public Service and Booz Allen in their plan to reform the general schedule system. You can find the entire plan at federalnewsradio.com. Jeff Neal is Senior Vice President at ICF International, former Chief Human Capital Officer at the Homeland Security Department. And Jeff has his own ideas that he's writing about on his Chief HRO blog at federalnewsradio.com. We have a cross-posted there too, Jeff. Now, you and I have talked about performance-based systems before. Do you have a general feeling toward them or against them, or does it depend on what they look like, Jeff?
I have a general feeling against them because I haven't seen one implemented really well yet. And so, you know, the theory of performance-based pay is great. The reality and the execution, I think, generally leaves a lot to be desired. And if we're going to do anything like that in government, I think it needs to be tested very thoroughly and validated. And we need to be able to prove that it doesn't have any kind of biases like racial or gender or age biases, and that it's actually really effectively measuring performance before we start playing with employee pay with it.
You write in this blog post, you have a ton of issues that you think are important that need to, that are the characteristics, you write, of an effective classification and pay system. So let's go through each of them kind of on the bullet philosophy and then talk about the recommendations that you have. The first one is less complexity, and that seems to be a common theme in both your recommendations and the partnership Booz Allen thing. They want to cut down to 5 pay bands. Does that make sense to you, or what do you like in that or not like?
I think the idea of simplifying is important. I think going to less grade levels is important. I don't know if 5 is the right number or 4 is the right number, or if maybe the number ought to vary based on the nature of the work. So I don't know if I'm ready to come down in favor of a particular number of bands.
Do we
certainly they need to be less than 15.
And that's where I was going to go next. If you count the SES, 16, I guess. But I think we can all agree that 15 is too many.
15 is too many. And then the other thing that's too many is all the job series. You know, there are 407 GS job series. And when you look at how many ways you could classify a GS position with 407 job series, and 6 or 7 or 8 grade levels in each one, and then some of them being supervisory, some of them not, some of them being leaders, some of them not, some of them having parenthetical designations like in the IT field. There are literally thousands of ways to classify a federal job. And I just don't see that as being very practical. It's not very useful, and it doesn't help anything. I mean, it doesn't help us with pay, it doesn't help us with hiring, it doesn't really help us with anything. So it's incredibly complex, and that needs to change.
The second characteristic you write about is fairness, and you admit this one's tough because different people have different definitions, Jeff.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, when you talk about fairness, some people will say, well, you know, fair is a weather forecast, and other people say, well, you know, what I think is fair isn't what you think is fair. So I came up, since it was my blog and my post, I got to come up with what I thought was fair. And what I think is fair is that age, gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, religion, and any other non-merit factors don't have any place in the classification process or in pay decisions, and you shouldn't allow discrimination, unintended or intended, based on those things. So that's how I define fairness.
Public service as a public trust. That sounds like a pretty simple concept on the surface, Jeff.
You would think so, but I don't know if it's always viewed that way. You know, working for the federal government is not just a job. It is working for the people. It is doing the people's work. You can hum the battle hymn of the Republic in the background while I'm saying this. And you don't go to work for the government to get rich. The government is not a place to make a fortune. But that public trust, I think, is a two-way street. If we're going to ask people to do the people's work, then we should treat those people like public servants and don't treat them like some sort of undesirable or unwanted bureaucrat.
The next characteristic of an effective classification and pay system, you write, is based on sound management principles. You write, many of the recommendations of the Hoover Commission died in the political process, and yet I can't help but think that whatever changes happen will come out of the political process, at least partly, Jeff.
Well, they will, and the political process is a reality we have to deal with. But whatever we do in the name of reform, as much as we possibly can, we need to try to find some way to base it on what is good government and good management rather than what is good politics.
The next principle that you write about is rewarding what we want to encourage, and that's a common sense one that, unfortunately, it seems doesn't happen very often in government right now, and mainly it's because the rewards aren't available that much.
Well, it's funny because it seems common sense, but it doesn't always happen. You know, we want to encourage performance, but we don't really have very good ways of doing that. We don't have performance processes in place that encourage performance. They look in the rearview mirror and pass judgment on people. We also say we want to encourage retention because turnover is expensive, and there are all kinds of costs associated with it that you can show very factually are real cost. Yet most people who are recommending replacing the general schedule say don't give anybody any kind of longevity-based pay increase. Well, if we want people to stay on and we know there's a cost associated with turnover, why not provide at least some longevity-based incentive to people to stay around? So we also want teamwork. We always say teamwork is important. Most people recognize that very little gets done by individuals. Most good work is a product of teams. Yet we have very few ways to officially recognize the performance of teams. So if we're going to talk about those things, then we need to have some way to encourage and recognize and incentivize what we say we want.
Well, and if we want to apply the team sports analogy, teams get good at by playing together for longer periods of time. It's harder to bring newer people into a team and expect they're going to fit in right away and perform at their very highest levels, too.
Absolutely. That's spot on.
Jeff Neal is a host of a blog at chiefhro.com and Senior Vice President at ICF International. And Jeff, the last of these characteristics of an effective classification and pay system you're writing about, you write, where discretion on pay matters exists, it should be executed by people who are trained and equipped to do it. And for some odd reason, the four letters NSPS popped into my head when I was reading this one. I wonder why that happened.
Probably because it's the poster child for a failed pay-for-performance system. You know, the problem with a lot of these systems is they put the pay decisions in the hands of people who are not trained to administer them. And so you give supervisors these responsibilities, you don't train them how to do it, and you come up with processes that are supposed to help you make certain that these things work, like pay pool managers and boards to look at things. But the reality is most of those folks have no training in compensation. They don't have all the data that you would need on pay comparability and on ratings and payouts across the agency. And so they don't really have what they need to do the work. So I think when you put that burden on managers, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to them. I don't think it's fair to the employees that they are rating and paying. So if you're going to do it, then let people who actually have the technical expertise make those calls.
You've got recommendations here, and I want to encourage folks to go to federalnewsradio.com and read them there, or go to chiefhro.com and read them on your blog. But we're almost out of time. Give me a synopsis, a summary of the recommendations that you have, at least the core principles in them.
The most critical one of these recommendations is that I believe if we're going to do any kind of significant civil service reform, we need to create a commission that is structured along the lines of the BRAC commissions, which were designed to try to take the base closure process out of the political realm. And that process was one where you had a professional staff a commission that had some independence, and then the Congress didn't have the ability, or the president didn't have the ability to play with the recommendations. All they could do is basically go up or down on them, and it kind of isolated those from politics. And I go into some detail on my blog on how that could work for civil service reform. And I think it's the only way to make civil service reform work in the political, very toxic political environment that we have right now.
A minute left, Jeff. There's a lot of buzz about what you're writing about. Do you see the possibility, at least, that now might be the time for something to happen, despite what a lot of cynics think, that stuff like this will never change?
I think it could be. You know, there is an interest, I think, on both sides of the aisle in making certain that we deal with federal workforce issues. I think the different sides of the aisle have very different views about what the problems are. But I think it's possible to do something. And the longer we wait, the more difficult it's going to be. And at some point, if we're not careful, we're going to get to the point where we have a crisis in civil service, where the government isn't able to recruit and retain the talent it needs. And that's a terrible time to try to start doing reform, because at that point it's too late.
Great thoughts as always, my friend. Thanks for being on the program today.
Delighted to be here.